Yo, what's going on?
Yo, yo, yo.
My name is Demir.
My name is Jordan.
And welcome to the Summer's Out podcast.
Well, let's go. Let's go. So,
Today, I mean, this podcast is really just about talking about different things that we learned in first year and just about anything in our life, whether it comes to talking about deep questions, talking about our university experiences.
Oh, yeah, like we just wanted to start the podcast because we met together this year, you know. I think it was second semester we first saw each other. We introduced ourselves. We had friend groups merged together, and then I mean, really close with this guy, had similar classes, so we spent a lot of time together.
Yeah, and I think just developing that kind of relationship between us in first year kind of shows how it'll grow into something big. And that's why we kind of want to start this podcast, because we're so similar to each other that we're able to kind of create something fun and innovative out of it.
That's true. That's true. Like I always wanted to start the podcast because I've always looked at like people that have talked and like they talk so well and talk like as if they have wisdom and talk like they have conviction. I've always wanted to learn how to do that. And I thought like starting a podcast would help me practice my speaking and try and elevate myself to even better things, you know?
Yeah. And I wanted to start a podcast too, because I always valued like communication. I always wanted to be able to emphasize that everyone can communicate with each other and everybody has that same type of accessibility.
Yeah.
And so I feel like podcasts is one way where, you know, us as friends can just like talk to each other while still mm-hmm. having that kind of ability to talk and have a fun time.
True. Yeah. So like as it started, how was your university first year, bro?
Oh my days, bro. Dude, organic chemistry, calculus, dude, especially as like, you know, we're in biomedical sciences.
Yeah.
At first when I was going to university, I didn't think it was gonna be this hard. I mean, like we got stacked on with biology courses, organic chemistry courses, even English courses, psychology courses. And it was just, dude, I would feel like I'm in med school, but you know, it was just kind of this whole new bash at me, and it really took me by a hit. But over time, you know, it definitely got easier, and I was able to catch on pretty quick. How about you?
No, yeah, bro. Like university first year, holy, I'd say, cause like going into it, like I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. Like in high school, I was taking all science courses and even computer science. So I was like, maybe I might want to become an engineer, you know, maybe I might want to become software, maybe computer science. And then all of a sudden, I was just like, you know what? Let me choose biomedical. Something happened to me later, earlier that grade 12 year. And I was like, you know what? Let me start doing biomedical science. I want to learn about health science. I want to learn how to do medicine. I believe this is a profession that I want to be at. So I wanted to do that. And then going into first year, I was kind of sad. Did you ever do like the frosh stuff? Like, you didn't do frosh? No, I didn't either. I just I saw my friends do it and I was like, dang, should I have done frosh? And I was like kind of sad and all, but you know, I just knew I had to lock in from the start. And then like those first 2 weeks, I was like, yippee. Like, you know, like even during orientation day, you meet your new friends. And then did you ever do orientations?
No, I didn't do any of that stuff. So.
You didn't do none of that? You just came in first day and was like...
Yeah, first day, I just had to lock in, you know. And I didn't even lock in, dude. Like, dude, I always wanted to, you know, like, put my full effort on 100%, like, studying and stuff. Because I feel like that was the only way to succeed. But I realized that you need to have a good balance.
For sure.
Sometimes you're definitely going to feel overwhelmed. There's no way you can just study every day, constantly on it. And, you were talking about the orientation stuff. Like, that's really important. Like... While I was like starting off first year, first semester courses, I hear my friend who's like in business stuff, like the Telfair management people, they get to go on a yacht and like party.
Wait, yacht?
Or like a boat or something.
I heard like a field trip, but a yacht?
Yeah, like a boat or something. But they get to spend so much time, you know, just like getting to know other people. And that's kind of why I wanted to start the podcast, because we didn't really have that type of experience.
True.
And this is kind of a way to be able to expand it and do it like more on a intracellular level, you know.
Intracellular, doing the method.
And I think next year I'll definitely try to be more involved in orientation stuff, even though it starts to get harder over the years, but you know.
I was gonna ask you about the orientation, because dude, like, you meet those people, like, those orientation days, and I wish somebody told me that, like, Sometimes the orientation people you meet, you're never going to see them ever again. Like, ever. It was actually sad. Like, I met them on the last day of orientation. I met these two or three new people. I've never seen them. And they're all in my classes. Never once said hi.
Damn.
They never once said, like, how are you doing, Jordan, or anything. Yeah. I was like, damn, sad.
Man, that's rough, man.
Yeah. But then, like, you know, university went on. I was, first semester, I'd say, like, the fall was a bit of a, I was just undercover. Like, I was just in the water, you know, testing the waters out, doing all my classes, going to school on time, just getting everything done. And then you feel tired afterwards, like halfway. Like, I remember bio, like evolution. Remember the lab with the cladograms? Dude, if I was to tell you guys, that cladogram thing was, oh my God, we stayed there from like one. It was hilarious. We had a midterm that same day. So we got there at probably 10 a.m., midterm at 1. So then we had our midterm at 1, and then we came back to the CRX library, grinded out the cladogram assignment until 10. Damn. Until 10. We stayed there late. Damn. And it was hilarious because we saw other people there too doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I was like, my God.
That one was so bad. I don't know. For some reason, like, we learned that stuff, kind of stuff in high school, but we never learned how to actually draw one.
Exactly.
And when you think about evolutionary relationships, you think, oh, this is really easy because dolphin and then whale and then, you know, land mammals. But it was actually something completely different. And I think everyone did bad on that. That was...
I mean, I did good. I did good. I got a 90-something.
I didn't do too well on that one. But
that's fair. That's fair.
In the end, we clutched up.
A lot of my friends didn't do so well. And then nobody told me about anatomy, dude.
Oh, anatomy was something else.
I wish, like, somebody told me that, like, because obviously you have the people that tell you, like, yo, anatomy, like, it might be your hardest course. And then you have another person like, bro, anatomy is so light. Yeah. Come on, right? You know, anatomy is light. Or this class light. I'm like, dude. And you took anatomy in person? Online semester?
Online. I took it on both times, yeah.
Both times online?
Thank the Lord I did. Anatomy in person would have been absolutely brutal. If you saw the slides that our professor was posting, dude, it was just words. Like there were pictures, but the smallest pictures. And then there's just words and words and facts and stuff. And, I mean, it was definitely, like, good. Like, I definitely, like, learned a lot. Mm-hmm. But, like, I would never wish that upon anyone again.
Like, I won't ever forget, like you would just see the class throughout the whole semester just dwindle down. It was hilarious. Like, because we had an 8:30 on Wednesdays. So, like, I'd see, like, a bunch of people in the Monday class. Nobody at 8:30. It was just me and my friend. And we're just like, oh, my God. And then, like, I'd see, like, my other friend, like, this other guy, fall asleep like this. Yeah. I was like, Jesus, it's really that bad. But, you know, we got through with an A in that class. So
virtual was good because I'm pretty sure it was, like, later in the day. Yeah. So, like, I didn't have to wake up, and I would probably fall asleep. I was in the class. It was virtual in the morning, too. But, like, it was good because it was recorded, too. So we were able to go at our own pace.
Lucky.
And it was low-key, like, I mean, dude, I can't even go 30 minutes through one lecture. Like, I have to go 30 minutes and take, like, 2-hour break and then continue the next 30
minutes. Bro, that's the TikTok brain, bro.
Yeah, it definitely is, bro. Dude, because, what's it called? Anatomy is just one of those subjects where you, like, you can't focus 100% without, you know, your mind going off. Because every little fact is something you need to know.
Exactly.
Especially, like, the course itself. It doesn't matter who your professor is.
Yeah, she took out, like, the most minute details of a lot of things, and those were tough. And then probably the worst thing of all, because we lived in Ottawa, you know, what school did you, high school?
Earl of March, yeah.
Yeah, I went to All Saints, so they're relatively near each other. Yeah. But, dude, nobody told me, like, I wish somebody told me about the commute system. I was trying to get a hold of, like, older students, like, how did you guys commute here? Did you guys drive? They all told me they'd bus. I was like, okay, I'm a bus. Nobody told me it was going to be an hour and a half.
Oh, my days, bro. Dude, it's actually the worst. Having to wake up, especially for, like, 8:30 classes. Oh, my days, dude. Sometimes waking up at 6 and waking up 6:30, and even then I'm late. Because sometimes you have to take a bus, and, like, you probably have to take, like, 2 buses. Or you drive.
Oh, yeah, I would drive to a spot and then
take a bus. Yeah, you drive to the park and ride. But sometimes, like, I have to take 2 buses, and one bus stops. And then I do have to take the train. One day on my exam day, I went like really early because I never risk like going later because I knew something's gonna happen, bro.
Yeah.
And the train shut down, and I had to take the 16 and it went all the way around the neighborhood until it got to the university.
God damn.
And then I still got there like I think 30 minutes. But usually that's like the moment I knew I should go like 4 hours before, bro. No matter the time.
Damn. I heard about that, like, that stop day. Like, people were telling me, like, the whole train station was packed and, like, everyone had to take buses. But I didn't know it was
bad. And, like you were saying, dude, the commute is horrible. The commute is so bad. Especially because in fall and winter, since you're paying tuition, you do get the bus pass, which is good. But, like, summer right now, you have to pay for your own. And it's really inconvenient, and you have to like tab every time, especially for me.
Yeah.
And especially for you. Good that you got a bus pass. That's a really smart thing to do. But that on top of commuting, that just like it's a little salt in the wound. It's a little salt in the wound.
Especially since we're broke.
We're broke, dude. We're broke.
I have no money. I have probably like actually I don't know how much I have. Like, I don't even check. I just pay the tuition and then like, you know, hopefully I could get a lunch at Rito, you know, but like Ooh, like we're like it's annoying because like you want to get a snack in the vending machine and then you're like you don't want your car to decline and then you see like everybody else passing by you're like oh is gonna car gonna decline?
I mean I think for us at least it's better like compared to like people who live away from home because let's say for example like Western people or like Queen like maybe not Queens people but Western people or like Waterloo people, you know, they're paying like 40 grand 20 grand in tuition. And sometimes they still do have to bus too.
Really? So, I didn't know about that. I thought they were living on res.
Yeah, some live on res, but I know a lot of people who like got like houses nearby because their whole family maybe like moved there or something. So they still have to like move. But like, I mean, it's still bad for us. Like an hour and a half, like time is really important, but like it's kind of stressful sometimes, especially on top of our course load.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's rough, bro. It's rough.
I didn't know that. Like I don't have many friends that like at different universities, you know. Like I just got the U Ottawa Carleton, some Queens, but damn, I didn't know it was like that. I thought everyone was living on res, partying at a Western, bro. And the Waterloo like engineers and stuff like the transformation. First year to fourth year, bro. Yeah. I didn't know. Damn.
Yeah.
But then, you know, as the year ended, you know, like fall semester, I was chilling, you know, Christmas break. I was like relaxing.
Mm.
And then, dude, a second semester started and I was like, bro, like, I don't know why. I was like, why?
Yeah, second semester was like something else, bro. Because, yo, chemistry went from like math to like drawing, bro. Drawing is not my specialty, bro. That's something else, bro. That's a whole different field for someone else, bro.
Dude, that O-Chem, oh my God.
O-Chem was, it's definitely new, bro. For those who are taking O-Chem, bro, you guys gotta actually like lock in. Even read the textbook.
Yes, read the textbook. Do the extra practice problems. And like a tip for you, like newcomers, dude, whatever the professor says, like in lecture, that is not at all the only stuff you should be doing to prepare for the midterms and tests.
Yeah.
Like I'm telling you, the professor might go over one or two examples that are like the easy, trivial examples. Dude, I can't even, like even in physics right now, it's like that. Physics right now, I'm like, yo, this guy's going off the most trivial examples. And then I go to the extra DGD. I'm like, dude, I've never seen these type of questions in my life.
Like, what? It's definitely a jump. Because like teachers in high school were like, I think they knew what to cover and they gave you those specific resources because there wasn't that much ground.
Yeah.
But like O-Chem is like such a big field and all the like stuff we covered in uni is so big. And taking on so much, bro.
And I won't lie, one of the best advice I got in, and it's actually so true. Like, I think it was during either orientation or it was like in high school. I can't remember. But one of them, they told me that a week in high school is like a day in university. And whenever I heard that, it made so much more sense. Mm-hmm. Like when people told me, oh, like in grade 12, we spent like 3 weeks on Krebs. I was like, wait, what? We did that in half a lecture.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what? And then, like, even the O-Chem learning, we didn't even do that. Like, learning the names and stuff, we're like, oh, if you know it, you know it. If you don't know, that extra studying for you, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely a jump. And I think, like you were saying, piece of advice. like something my dad told me, or like he's been telling me ever since I like graduated high school, was like, whenever you want to do anything, always put like 100% of your effort. Mm-hmm. If it's like studying, playing sports, even playing video games, like mm-hmm. you want to put your full effort to be the best.
That's right.
And you know, I kind of had, I tried to put that mentality going into OChem,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, in the initial part, like in the beginning, I was like, yo, this isn't that bad, you know, mm-hmm. just naming stuff.
It
like,
is normal.
We learned some stuff in high school, and then we started jumping, and I was like, whoa, stereochemistry and all these new topics. I was like, yo, what's going on?
And the new topics were early, like yeah. a lot of the other classes, like, because first year is usually like a review, try to build a basis.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, I already know like a bunch of this stuff. Maybe yeah. I'll learn like one or two new things.
Yeah.
OChem, it's like from like the jump, or like in 2 weeks, you're like already learning like a whole new
yeah.
set of terminology, new yeah. techniques. I'm like, damn.
And it's definitely not like for you guys watching, it's definitely not something to stress about. I think you just have to put a lot of practice, because OChem, like Gen Chem, like usually have those similar types of questions. Like it's all just kind of math based, like calculate pH and stoichiometry. But OChem is like, there's different scenarios where you have to draw and different mechanisms and stuff. So you kind of really have to put 100% of your effort in order to, you know, master.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, I mean, yeah, the rest of the second semester, it was chill. Like the winter commute, I thought it wouldn't be as bad as I thought it would be. It wasn't like terrible as in like the train. Like I was hearing like older students telling me like the train was gone every like second day. I was like, dude, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, there was like no trains for like a week. I was like, what? But then, yeah, I mean, it was calm. Like it wasn't crazy cold. I mean,
yeah,
like it wasn't like ridiculous. It was just OChem, man.
Yeah, it was definitely a long winter too, though. Like it started winting until like maybe March, April. It kept snowing and snowing. I mean, I thought that would bother me, but it didn't really bother me. No. I just kind of treated it as a normal winter. It didn't really impact the bus or train or anything. And OChem was worse than the snow, bro. OChem was worse than the winter. The winter's coming, bro.
Just study up your OChem, guys.
Yes, bro. Yeah.
So I got some questions, you know what I mean? Okay. I just want to pull us up some questions, you know, line up the mood. Okay, so I had like this crazy like thing, like I was thinking about it like on the train this other day. I was like, I was thinking about like blind people. I was like, because like they don't really see, and like some people get blind from like birth. So like I was gonna ask you, like a, it might be like a little deep, but like, do you think like blind people, like when they're dreaming or when they're sleeping, do you think they actually see, or do you think like they just dream like the sounds and like what would their thoughts even be? Because like they don't really see people.
Yeah,
they don't really like know anything what it looks like. So like, are they dreaming sounds?
Like, yeah, I mean, like I think that like, since blind people don't really know like stuff around them, they like sometimes they know how to describe it, maybe by feel or something, but they don't really know what it looks like. So maybe like in their dreams, they interpret it the way they will. And they're dreaming about stuff. They think it's something that, you know, they think it is. Like maybe a book is like some random thing. Like a book is like this, like a phone or something. Or like a unicorn is like, it doesn't look like the unicorn we know, but a unicorn they interpret to be. So maybe they dream about it like that.
Maybe. I mean, like, because I was thinking like even clouds. Like, like what if the dream of like lying down on the clouds? Do they even have dreams like that? Like. I don't know. I was in like a very deep thought about this. I was like are they dreaming like sounds? Like, cause I know like some people say like they can see sounds or whatever. I'm like, first of all, I'm like, what? But then I was like, maybe it makes sense. Like, do they dream like Braille? Like, what? Like, I don't know.
It's a really weird thought now that I think about it. Cause you know, they haven't really experienced things we have. Like, they don't have their full like sensory whatever.
Exactly.
They just kind of think what they know or whatever they know. And the Braille thing, I mean, I don't know about the Braille thing though. No. But like, yo,
okay, yeah, that was a bit of a stretch. Yeah.
But the cloud thing kind of makes sense. You know, when someone like describes it, like when you describe like a fluffy pillow type of thing, I think maybe in their dreams, they kind of are able to dream similar to us of what we think it is. But Loki, I think their dreams are out of space. I think the dreams are out of
this world, bro. They're out of this world.
Literally out of this world, bro.
I don't know. It's just weird thoughts, you know. Like people, like it's like with like deaf people. Do you think like, what do you think they're hearing in their head? Like, what do you think they're thinking in their head?
Yeah.
Like, do they just think words that they see? And how do they pronounce those words in their head? Like, I've always like wondered, like, these random, just random facts. Like,
It's real weird, bro. I have a question for you this time. So, would you rather go back in time and change whatever you want? So, you go back in the past, change whatever you want, or go into the future and you don't get to change it, but you know what happens in the future?
So, wait, I get to, I can go to the past.
Yeah.
Change
whatever you
past.
Want.
So I'm guessing my age. I'm guessing like if I change the past, like everything that I've, what I've now changed wouldn't be my present. Like, for example, us doing the podcast right now. If I change the past, we might not be doing this podcast anymore. And then take a sneak peek into the future.
Yeah.
Oh, but I don't get to change any.
But like, it's like, really like unpredictable.
Oh my God. Cause like I could change like, I can change like a lot of things, but like, if you change a lot of things, then you're like, what am I even doing right now?
Yeah.
And then if I go to see the future, I'd be like, wait, I got two kids in like 2 years. I'm like, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, that is a tough. Bro, wait. Yeah. Okay, I actually never thought of this question like that. Because like, I wouldn't want to go too far back. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't want to go to like 2 years old, 3 years old. Yeah. Be like a man baby and be like, changing like nothing.
Doing calculus, bro.
Your whole, and then your whole life, because like I could easily say, you know, I'm gonna just become the Nobel Prize. Yeah. I'm gonna just start a YouTube channel. I'm gonna invest in Bitcoin. I'm gonna invest in Bitcoin in 2015, 2016, or 2020. But then again, like, you invest in Bitcoin, you become rich.
Yeah.
I'm not here anymore. Yeah. I'm probably gone. Maybe my people even around me might feel envious of me. I might not have many friends.
Yeah. It's definitely a tough question. Like, even I had this question, but I never really thought too deep about it because, you know, looking in the future and knowing, like, you'll know what happens and you'll kind of be, maybe you'll be sad, maybe you'll be motivated and you just continue your life as it is. But you look past, you change stuff, you don't know what's going to happen in the present. Like, you could change stuff. Maybe you did better in school, maybe you didn't do better in school. You could change, you might be changing your major, bro. You could be an engineer, you could be medicine. You might not even be in school.
You
could be an entrepreneur, bro. And you could be an arts dude. Like, I don't know. It's a really unpredictable question. Like, I genuinely don't know.
If I had to choose, because now that, like, the passing, like, I was going to think about that at the start, but then now I think about it, like, it's too scary. It's too way too scary. So I might have to take a peek in the future. Like, I might just chill there. Like, it's not like I'm, like, doing, like, the Back to the Future type future where I'm sports betting or whatever. But, like, oh, my God. Like,
I mean, I think the way, like, I would have thought about it, like, the way I think about it right now is kind of like, if I were to do better in high school maybe, and I could have applied to these better schools, but then again, I still don't know because, you know, there's so many other factors. You can't just go back and do better in school and expect like a better outcome because maybe you will, but maybe you won't. So I might have to side with you on this and kind of look in the future because a safe option. I mean, if you look in the future, you see where if you're going down the right path, you know, following through what you're doing right now and you don't see a happy future, maybe you can just change the present and maybe that might change something. So.
Yeah. That is true. I could look into the future and be like, but no, but then that again, that is your already future. So whatever like think about it. If you saw the future, then your future self already knew you saw the future, so you would have already changed it. So it, like man, that's okay. I'd still have to go with the future.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you one thing. Like, if you had a hot take, what's like one hot take that you don't think anybody would agree with you, but like nobody can like stand up to you against it?
Hot take.
Like, for example, for me, I had like a hot take like Justin Bieber. I honestly, true heartedly believe that if Justin Bieber never went to jail, he could have become the next Michael Jackson. I genuinely believe that. I believe he is the Michael Jackson of our time.
Huh.
Or at least the millennials' time. I don't know. I'm Gen Z.
I mean, that's a good take. Like, I mean, I don't know if I agree though.
But think about it. Baby. That 2015 out, I'm forgetting on the top of my head. It's like the one where he's like it's gray and it's like him just like standing straight. But that album was crazy. I'm telling you, like he had the hits. He had everybody going crazy. He had his fans passing out.
That's true. Like, I feel like Michael Jackson had like a very particular, you know, like Justin Bieber was definitely popular, but I don't think he had that same kind of effect that Michael Jackson like would have like did have, you know, even if he didn't go to jail.
No, I know. But like, think about it. Like, Michael Jackson, when he was younger, part of the Jackson Five, he was popular as a kid, then grew up, then became popular. Justin Bieber, as a kid, popular. As he grew up, became even more popular, and then went to jail. Well, imagine he didn't go to jail. It's like saying, imagine Michael Jackson didn't get vitiligo or whatever made him white.
Oh man, that's a really hard take. I can't lie. Like when I think, I mean, even if he go jail, I feel like that kind of shaped him into like he's very up there with Michael Jackson.
But like
Similar.
now he's like, like
Yeah, now he's
we're
like
talking
all over the
twice.
place. He's all over the place right now. He's so cool.
Oh
He's definitely all over the place.
man.
But I think, I don't know, I feel like Michael Jackson just had this level of respect and kind of like his audience was kind of like everyone, like all ages. You know, I feel like Justin Bieber, even like the type of music he was making like then, like Baby and
Yeah.
stuff, even after jail, he was probably making like similar music.
Mm
I don't think he could probably reach all those audiences and kind of have that even after jail. Like they
I
even after
mean,
jail. I don't know if he had the same. But like, you know, it's a hot take. It's a
it's
hot
it is
take.
a hot take.
It's
Like
a hot
I
take.
generally believe it. Like it was like cool because like people were telling me, oh, The Weeknd, but I was like, I guess, but kind of not. I don't really see The Weeknd. He doesn't have the dance moves. You know, people were saying Chris Brown, he had the dance moves, he had the moves, but like he wasn't as popular like that. Like a like he was popular, but not like to the masses to where people in Japan are like Chris Brown, Chris Brown. Like the way Michael Jackson had people. I don't know. It's like I've always thought about like JB, like what happened to that guy? Like what? Like he could have been the next Michael Jackson. He could have been
Yeah,
the next
no,
Michael
that's
Jackson.
valid. That's valid. And like you were saying about The Weeknd, bro, I don't think The Weeknd's like,
He's
nah.
not him. He's
I
not
mean,
him.
I've seen like people like, you know, like they're like fans of Weeknd. They'll buy like all this merch and stuff.
Yeah.
But I listen to his music, like some songs, low
Sometimes
key,
I
like
kind
they're
of
pretty good.
slap. I kind of slap.
Some songs,
Like,
some of the most popular songs, like,
you're like, what? Like, they.
what? Like, who likes this music? Like, I mean, no offense, he's a great artist,
True,
but
true.
like, dude, people need to slow it down. I think they need to realize that there's definitely like other like bigger artists who are like better, or even smaller artists who like, you know, need more recognition. But I mean, he is pretty popular. I don't blame him. Like, that's pretty valid to like his music. But paying like $300, like my friends into like end of July,
Yeah.
so around their physics exam, bro. These people they're gonna go to Toronto to go to the Weeknd concert. They're paying
Really?
like 600, 700 for not even a floor ticket, bro. These are
Like
like,
nosebleeds?
yeah, like they're like really like they're not bad seats, but they're like really far away from the stage. But
Yeah.
you're paying like $800, bro, 800, and the
Man.
music ain't even that good.
It's not crazy. His
Music ain't
music's
that
not
good.
like
Like maybe I do that for like a Coldplay concert or like
Coldplay is
Bruno
good.
Mars.
Also, I heard a lot of Bruno Mars being like, but then like I don't know what happened. Like he had 24 karat. Like my friend, he says the funniest joke every time he says it because he's like a little short kid. So he's like, it's so funny when it comes out of his mouth. But like he always says like, bro, Bruno Mars, he made 24 karat magic, Uptown Funk, grabbed his bag and dipped. I was like, I mean, he's not lying. Like he was like, he grabbed his bag. Got his money, quick cash, and then dipped for like he took hiatus. I
I
was
mean,
like,
I don't blame him. His music is still like
it's
good.
still
Die with
good
a
though.
Smile,
Doubt,
and then
oh
Skate and
my
all those other new songs with Anderson .Paak. Like
God.
they're valid. Like I feel like Bruno Mars is pretty consistent with
No,
his
he is
music
consistent.
like throughout since like 2010s.
True,
Doo
true.
Wop Hooligans, 24 Karat
Damn,
Magic,
you even
bro.
know,
Like
you even went back, do
yeah,
up. Holy.
yeah.
How you know this is
Yeah,
more?
Bruno Mars is one of my favorites for sure.
Really? Who are your top three artists right now? Top three.
Top three right now.
Or I'll give you top five. Top five
Top
artists right now.
five, damn. Definitely Daniel Caesar. I'm a big Daniel Caesar fan. Rex Orange County is up there.
I have
Rex
no
Orange
clue
County.
who the heck are
Really?
those people. What?
Really?
Is that a band?
It's one singer, but I
Oh,
think
no.
it's like a band kind of thing. I'll show you after.
Okay.
So Daniel Caesar, Rex Orange County, Bruno Mars for sure. Ooh, this is kind of tough. I haven't really like thought about this because those are, like I only been asked like top three, you know, four and five. Okay, while I'm thinking, why don't you start? Because I can't.
Okay. Top five. I gotta go with my boy Drake.
Okay.
Gotta go with Drake. I like Drake. I mean, all his music, his rap, his R&B, you know, even his slow songs. You know, kind of good. Drake. Next one I go is J. Cole. I love J. Cole.
Okay.
If you give me a J. Cole song, I love his like bars. I like how he talks.
Yeah.
His creativity is really good.
Mm.
Then I gotta put Frank Ocean up there. Like Frank Ocean.
Oh yeah, I need to put him on my list.
Frank Ocean. People have been telling me get into Tyler the Creator too. I mean, I'm gonna start getting into him. I mean, he's cool. He seems really cool. Frank Ocean, J. Cole, Drake. I used to be a Future fan. I don't know if I still am. Like, I listen to some of his music, but it's mainly just like to vibe and just relax. I mean, Future, he's a good artist.
Good artist.
And then, if I had to substitute Future, I'd put Thames.
Thames. Yeah, I think I definitely put Thames up there too. Because Thames, like, I feel like her voice, it's like the deep and a little bit gravelly. So it's like nice to listen to.
Exactly.
And I know she made a song with J. Cole. I'm pretty sure I talked to you before. It's called Free Fall. It's really good. And I definitely put Thames on my list. And I also put Frank Ocean. Frank Ocean, I listen to a lot. I mean, like, I've seen like more and more videos that include his audios and stuff and his songs. And like, it just makes it like so much better. And then when I listen to it's on, it's like its whole, you know, own experience.
True.
And like, I think like we should probably cherish music more. Like music is such like an amazing type of communication that we can use, you know, if it's like even for yourself or listening with friends, it's like this whole thing.
Okay, now if I had to ask you, okay, on the music note, I gotta ask you something. So like, I was also thinking about this the other day where like, when you sleep, do you sleep with like music or like white noise, or like, how do you feel about people that like say, Jordan, I have to sleep with like white noise or air conditioning on or else I can't sleep?
Yo, that's blasphemy, bro. Because I mean, for me at least, like when I go to bed, I sometimes watch TikTok in bed, I turn it off. But even the slightest sounds like piss me off. Like, so I can have a fan on, like that's fine, like that's constant.
Okay, but that sound that would be counting as noise, like white noise.
Oh, that's true. But like, yeah, no, that's fair, I guess. Yeah, I guess like a fan is fine sometimes, but.
But like, you don't like what if they're listening to like that somber music, like, you know, like that low, like,
nah.
Or like meditation music.
I can't do that, bro. Like, I remember I tried, cause like one night I was having like trouble falling asleep. Mm-hmm. I tried all the methods, went on Google. Boom, what's one of them? Do push-ups. Dude, try to like do the plank, make you tired, you know?
Said do push-ups?
Yeah. And it was like, listen to white noise, brown noise, whatever noise. And I was like, yo, this is not working.
It's not it?
Try to listen to a podcast, didn't work. But I don't know. For me, at least, like, maximum fan. But like, otherwise, I like it dead silent. Like, no one bothers me. Not scared of the monsters or nothing.
You're not scared of the monsters? You don't believe in monsters?
No, bro.
Bro, what about Bigfoot, bro?
Yo, this guy's a Bigfoot. Sasquatch, bro.
No, I'm telling you, there's been video evidence, bro.
Bro, dude, go to Alberta right now and go find one.
There's been video evidence. Have you not seen that one video where it's like this guy like a videotape like this big thing coming into a forest, and it was like this helicopter just bringing in this big thing like covering over like a tall forest. He videotaped it. And then it cuts to him like in like an interrogation room where he's all scared, like, I did not see that. All that was fake and all that. And it looked like somebody went like a gun just, I don't know. I'm saying, and there's been like footage. Like there's footage. I'll show you after.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
But on the note of like people like this, I don't understand it. I don't. And like, I always wonder, like, is that like somebody's defect? Like, would you say that's a defect to somebody? Cause like you could say like you can have an addiction. And then you can say that it helps you, because some people say, "Oh, bro, I like drinking, I like smoking, like it helps me be more productive." Okay, buddy. But like, it's like, is that like a necessary defect you have to sleep?
Yeah.
Because like, you would obviously, people say smoking for studying better or like more active. I mean, like that's kind of bad, dude. But like, when it gets to simple as like white noise, like would you count that as a defect? Like, are people like just like brain dead?
Oh, I haven't really thought about that. The defect point is actually really good. You know, just thinking about like when I think about it, like someone's sleeping and then they just hear this like loud noise coming in their ear. I don't know. Maybe it like helps calm the brain or something. Maybe it is a defect like you said, but like they might be cooked, bro.
They might be cooked.
They're psychological.
Too much TikTok, bro?
Yeah, too much TikTok, bro. Or maybe they listen to music, like, almost all the time. Like, every single second of the day, eating lunch, going to take a
having an AirPod in.
Taking a bathroom, you know? Like, it's just maybe their brain is just so used to it that they need it to, like, have their, like, you know, normal type of position in life, you know?
It's just, like, I find it so odd, too. Yeah. Like, why do people, like... Because, like, always people want to be, like, even with, like, the smoking thing, like, addictions and stuff.
Yeah.
I've never, like, understood, like people saying, like, because, like, obviously people have sleeping pills. But then, like, do you think that's a defect? Do you think people, like, on sleeping pills are like, oh, I can't sleep because I need my pills. Yeah. Do you want to go get my pills? I'm like, do you really need those pills?
Yeah.
Or can you, like, change, like there's this thing, like, self-limiting, like, biased almost to where, like, people would say, like, oh, I need this to do it. But what if you just change, like, your mindset? Like, what if you, like, instead of saying, I'm not a morning person. What if it's that you are a morning person, you just don't choose to be a morning person? Like, because you can just become a morning person. Like, what if you have a job that you really need and they require you for 6 a.m.? Oh, now all of a sudden you become a morning person?
Yeah.
So are you really not a morning person? Like, it's like, I don't know. I don't get these people defects and stuff. Yeah. I don't understand it. Like, people.
Yeah.
But hey, people have lived their own lives, you know.
That's true, yeah.
I think
on the idea of, like, addiction, I also wanted to mention, like, dependency. You know, because, like you were saying, like, people want, yo, go Jordan, go get the sleeping pills, bro. You know, those type of people. Like, I think to the point, like, maybe they started with, like, getting sleeping pills and maybe it helped them in the beginning. But then, like we learned, like, psychology and stuff, like, they just build, like, a higher tolerance and until the point where they really need it. And I think the same thing applies to music. You know, you just listen to music all the time, or maybe you started sleeping with them at night, you wanted to try it, and then you just come consistent where, oh my God, I just can't sleep without it.
Sure.
And, you know, for me, because I don't have no wired earbuds or anything. I just have AirPods. The one thing I'm scared about, because I usually flip over a lot in bed, because I always want to go, oh, cold side, hot side.
So true.
And, like, I don't want an AirPod. Like, I just start sleeping on my AirPod. That stuff gets stuck in there. Yeah. And, you know, and then just music stuck in my head. You know, I can't do that. And, like, addiction, I think it's definitely more or less like an addiction than it is a defect, because they just, you know, depend on it.
It's sad. It's sad. Yeah. All right. Let me see if I got another question.
All right.
I've been thinking about. Okay. I do got a pretty random question. What's, like, something that, like, you always randomly start thinking about? Like, you know, like, you might be in, like, that friend group and, like, they're all chatting and then you're just staring at them, like, opening them like this, and you're like, what is something that, like, you always, like, when you start to drift off into the distance, that you start thinking about? You start
honestly, talking yourself. Like, I mean, maybe it's just me, but, like, sometimes I just think about, like, the future. Like not just, like, me getting into med school or me not getting into med school, but, like, the far future, you know, when I'm, like, older and maybe I'll have kids and a wife and I see my friends and maybe he didn't end up with a job. You know, like, all these kind of, like, hypothetical scenarios when I'm with my friends. And it's kind of sad. Like, it does bring the mood down a little bit, but usually I snap out of it within, like, a couple minutes.
You're able to snap out of it quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
But thankfully, it's not something that I like to worry about too much. But when I see, like, some of my friends, maybe they're not studying enough, or maybe they're not doing too well. Maybe they're too busy with stuff. They're working too many jobs. I just kind of have a little bit of concern for them. But other than that, it's usually just me dreaming about, like, scenarios in video games or something. Like, maybe, like, Elden Ring or, like, anime.
You play Elden Ring?
I mean, I did for a little bit. Like, it was definitely hard.
You have a PS5?
I have a PS4.
Yeah.
I mean, you can run it, but it's, like, really, it's, like, 30 frames or something. I had to, like, do a mod, like, virtual machine installation or whatever. But my brother is, like, a whole geek at tech. This guy's Switch Lite, PS4.
Jesus Christ.
Computer desktop, yo. And my dad just, like, feeds into it because, you know, why not, bro?
Computer science major, right?
Computer science, bro. How about you?
No, I mean, like, obviously it gets sad because, like, I'd be thinking about a lot of times space, like, The universe, a lot of things that you like can't control. Like, is existence even real? Like I go into like this thought, I'm like, I'm thinking about space and like how small we are compared to the universe. I'm like, okay, wait, first I gotta ask you, do you believe aliens are real?
No.
Oh my god.
No. Okay. The idea that like other beings are real, I mean, it makes sense, but like I don't feel like there hasn't been enough proof yet.
No, obviously there's been no proof. I'm just saying, do you believe in them? Like, do you think it's real? It's like saying, actually, well, there's been proof of dinosaurs, but it's like it's like saying, like, friggin' the Sasquatch. No, but I'm saying I believe aliens are like real. Like, I really do believe that like there is other life. Obviously, I don't think it's gonna be somebody that walks out on Earth and be like, and then
you're like, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, no, I don't think it's gonna be like an alien be like, and you see nine eyes coming out of his body. It's not gonna be an alien like that. But I do believe like there's other life like outside of our realm. And I'm like what if we actually like was able to like meet up with them? Do they also see the same stuff that we do? Mm-hmm. Like, you know how like I was like, there's that space thing where people are like, when you look at like a certain star, like where you can look at it like the dinosaurs or the prehistoric time when you're looking at it. I'm like, do they look at that too? And also like, big topic about it is, do you think aliens have a higher knowledge power than us? Do you think that they've already solved like 4D, 5D, 6 dimensions?
Damn. I mean, now that I think about it, I do think like there's other life. Like, considering from like a religious perspective, like say like God, I feel like he wouldn't have just put like us humans on a planet. I feel like there has to be other life forms, especially like I watched a video where it was like it starts from Earth and expands out, and there's like these different galaxies and stuff. So I definitely think there's a strong, like there's a probable chance that maybe there's other aliens. And I don't know about IQ, bro, because it's kind of hard to define it, you know. But I feel like they'd probably be more innovative than us, because I feel like I don't think they have buildings and stuff.
What do you think they're like? Because like, you have you heard of the thing where like, as we, the way we look at chimpanzees is how aliens look at us? Have you've heard of that before?
I think so, yeah.
Like, do you think like that would be real? Like, you know how we go to a zoo and we look at all these animals, hi, be like, hi. Do you think if aliens actually came over, they just be like, hi, or they're already just watching us and they're just observing? Like, they just
could be. I mean,
what if Earth is just a massive zoo? What if they have cameras all over the place? There's already satellites.
That's true. Yeah, that's what she said.
Let me make sure there's not a red dot in like.
No,
a red dot is right. Close right there.
It's really weird because, you know, I've always seen like on the news and stuff, there's always like all these sightings of UFOs. And I've never like taken it seriously because I always thought probably just like a flying asteroid or a rock or something. And I was like, there's no big deal. But like, maybe that could be happening because we have all these other planets around. And we actually haven't really gotten close to any of those things. And we all know, like, oh, some of these are just made out of certain material, like sun is flame and the moon is moon rock and all these other planets. But there's so much more out there. And they could be seeing us with whatever they have, you know.
Well, I'm saying, like, one more thing. Like, if you don't think they're in space, what if they're in the water?
The water. I mean, I did hear that we haven't explored.
Like, we haven't explored,
like, a tiny chunk.
Yeah. Like, I think there's 75% or whatever. That's the famous stat or something like that. Or 95%, something like that. Or that we've only explored, like, 5% of the ocean or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I mean, low-key, it's... Man, they could be in the water. But then again, I feel like we would have had some indication of it. Like, maybe just a tiny bit, right? Like, there's no way they've been covert for, like, years.
Shoot, we're polluting the water right now, bro. They should be dead by then.
That's true, dude. Pollution is actually, like, really bad. Like, I remember I went to the beach, Britannia. I remember...
E. coli, bro?
Yeah, E. coli. Dude, that day, I heard that the E. coli levels were so high, someone pushed me in the water. I mean, I don't think I have any, like, disease or anything, but, like, I also saw, like, a line of plastic. A line really? Of plastic just around the beach, or going all around on the rocks and stuff too. And honestly, if there were aliens in the water, yeah, dude, they're eating all our paper cups and cigarette butts and all these random ass stuff. They'd probably be close to dead. I mean, if they eat.
I think I gotta talk to a fish.
You know? Yeah.
We gotta find a higher power fish, you know, maybe evolution. You know?
Yeah.
But no, yeah, as I was like bringing all that like to like existence, thinking about existence, am I real? Like, are like not the simulation matrix thing, but like are we as humans, like, have you ever thought about like the afterlife and be like, is this it? Like, am I like right now and then I won't ever think about anything ever again? I'll just be a mindless thought. Like, I'll just be like, I wouldn't even have a thought. I don't even know what would be. You wouldn't even know what would be. You're just like there, but you're not there.
Yeah.
Like, that's so like weird. When you're dead, like obviously people have religions like, oh, there's a heaven and hell, you know, there's the afterlife or, reincarnation.
Yeah.
But like, dude, like, what if none of that's
real? Yeah, I don't know. It's so weird. Cause like, I mean, as I was born, like a religious Muslim, we always had this idea where, like, you know, heaven, hell, you always do these good deeds, you always do these good things, you'll end up in heaven. You do bad things, you're going to end up in hell.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I kind of always thought about that thought myself, where like, we're kind of just this being, mm-hmm. and maybe there is no heaven, maybe there's no hell. And
maybe.
When you die, is it just going to be black forever? Is it just going to be nothing? Like, what do you define as nothing? You know what I mean? And
I don't know.
Like, I feel like reincarnation, whatever, like maybe you reinincarnate as like a fish or a dog.
That
or like
suck,
you
bro.
Go through the levels again. I don't know. Maybe that idea is something else, but maybe I don't know. It's such a weird thought. Like, I'm trying to think about how, like, when you die,
mm-hmm.
you'll like respawn as like the tiny thing, like an amoeba. And like, you, if you die, or like a amoeba, like, you know, dies, you turn into ant dies, you turn into a dog dies, and you just keep doing that until we turn back into human. But every time your memory kind of resets, so you don't really know. But like, that seems kind of unrealistic because, you know, there's no proof.
So you're telling me I was an insect before?
Maybe.
But then again, how fast would that reincarnation happen? Because if I like, for example, if I die today, do I just become a fly tomorrow? Or like, does it take like some time? If like for that reincarnation thing, like I know there's samsara or whatever, like Hinduism. Yeah. But like, I'm like if I just like died, or like if I was an insect before, like, cause like flies have like the lifespan like a couple of days or whatever.
Yeah.
I die and all of a sudden I'm a fish. I just been born.
Mm.
Or do you think it's the Matrix?
Oh,
they're gonna be like, "Oh, Namir, welcome to the afterlife," and they're gonna
be crazy, bro. I don't know. It's really weird to talk about, because like, especially when I was a young kid, like I've just been filled with the same kind of idea. Mm-hmm. Never really thought about it until like recently, and so I don't really know. But adding on to like the same kind of idea,
mm-hmm.
you ever feel like you're like first person in like a game, but everyone else is kind of like just another like NPC or something, and they're just kind of there to
see
kill
I like to believe in that, but like then I feel like too egocentric. Like, I sometimes feel like, am I the main character? And then like, you're like, bro, like then you're like, oh, that guy's goofy, or that guy, what is he talking about, the main character of what?
Yeah,
like, but I mean, sometimes I feel like I sometimes do feel like that way. Like, I would like look around, like maybe in like a Sobeys store, and I'm like, am I like the real person?
Yeah.
Like, but then I also believe, do other people have thoughts like me? Like, do other people? Because obviously nobody looks like each other. They like look similar, but like we're all pretty much unique.
Yeah.
So like, does anybody like believe in the same things that I do? That looks like me.
Yeah.
That talks like me. Like, I don't know. Cause like, if there was, then I'd be like, maybe it's a 2-player game.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes I do feel like that ego, like I feel like maybe I'm main character. Everybody else is just walking around, you know, one day, you know, go, I'm a robot. I'm like, okay, going back in. I don't know.
I definitely had like a similar type of thinking, but like mine was more like, you know, I'm like first person, like I'm in this person, like I'm looking at myself, I'm living this life. And you're like a friend, or like an NPC. Like, obviously, I don't think this. I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
But like, I had an idea sometimes. Like, sometimes maybe I'm being watched, or like, not like crazy, but like just the idea where like maybe I'm the main character.
Yeah.
But like, I never had that type of ego where it affects people and like it'll make me think I'm better than them. But like maybe in like a library or something, like I just feel like, are these other people here to like shape my story, shape my journey, help me become the person I am in the end? And then we talked about death, and that's a whole different thing, you know? So it's a whole different bundle.
Maybe, bro. I don't know. It's hard to tell because like you always live in the first person, and then you can think of yourself in the third person.
Mm.
So it's like, I don't know if people are like NPCs per se, but like I'd be like, maybe they're like helping me on a mission. Maybe they're like the people that you have a conversation with, and they're like, oh, I got to do this, got to do that task, and you're like, okay, let's go. I don't know.
All right, another question.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this one. This one's a little more deep. Okay. This one's gonna get a little psychological. You're just gonna have to think about it. Do you like yourself?
Do I like myself?
Yeah. We'll start off with that, and then we'll move on to the next part of the question. It's a little tough because it's kind of hard to kind of describe. But I like to hear it.
I would say I do like myself. I do like myself, but like there's also stuff that like, for example, like you can get hard on yourself. You'd be like, oh, I didn't do this task. Oh, or like you're getting mad for the day. Or why did I procrastinate? I had this assignment to do. Or I had to study this. And then you might seem like you don't like yourself in that moment. But I think as a whole for myself, I do like myself. I do think I'm a likable person. I just do like myself.
That's good. Do you think you have any like flaws? Anything like that's out of the box that you think people are looking at you all the time and think that, oh, they're gonna point this out?
Honestly, I do have my flaws. I do believe that like I can be very impulsive, which could be good or bad, to where it can be good in the sense that I would enact on that thing if it's a good moment. Like, for example, oh, I realize I got to do this. I'll just do it instead of being a procrastinator sometimes. But then obviously always impulsiveness can be bad, can be not taken well across like your friends and like other people. So I'd say that's a flaw. Another flaw I might have is that like sometimes I wear hard on the sleeve a lot of the times, but like I don't show it. So like I'll wear hard on my sleeve and then I'll keep it all in. And then, like, you know how people, bottle up emotions and stuff?
Yeah.
You know, maybe one day it might become erratic, you know. But it's not often.
Yeah, no, I think, man, that's really true. I think for me, at least, like, a big flaw of mine is that I tend to be really egotistical. Like, at times when, say, I applied for something and I got it, I tend to flaunt it around to other people because I want them... psychologically, I want them to know that, oh, I got this, and that kind of makes me better than you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obviously not something I want to do, but I think my body, like my brain, is telling me, well, I did this, so that means I have to show people that I did it, otherwise I don't get the validation that I want. And I think that's what that kind of like covers my personality a little bit, because otherwise, like, I like to think I'm a funny guy. Like, sometimes I make like jokes or I do something really stupid. And then I'm an academic side when I'm locked in, I study. But this side is like something that I don't want. Like, it's something in my body that I can't control. Like, academic and goofy, that's fine. I can do that.
Yeah.
But like my flaws is something we can't control and something we just have to live with. Okay. But hopefully it'll get better over time.
Yeah, so then if I ask, because you said the egocentric thing. So follow up to those two questions. Would you say you're a good person?
Hmm. I mean, it's really tough because I often do, like, there's different sides to this because there's a religious side, like what my parents want me to do, and there's what I think is right.
Okay.
And there's obviously what others think is right. So on my parents' side, like, I was supposed to be like a Muslim. I was supposed to be religious, and I always thought that was like a good ideology to follow. But over the years, I've come less and less away from it because my parents like pushed me so much to following it, and it like made me too attached to the point where I don't really see. I mean, it's an amazing religion. Like, I'm not disrespecting it, but it's not for me.
Okay.
And there's obviously what other people think, you know, like the things I do, what I do, donate, volunteer, and what I do, doing good deeds and stuff. Overall, I like to think that I am a good person. I like would sacrifice myself to help others, and obviously commit to these good skills to make me a better person. But again, it's really, you can't really like define yourself, you know, you can't really tell yourself you're a good person because you don't really know.
That's
but
true.
You know, I would say overall, I'd like to think I'm a good person, but I don't really know.
I feel that exact same sentiment where like you do good things for people, you volunteer, you help out the poor, like you've seen me like
yeah.
with people, like I'll just give them a $10 buck even though he's just harassing other people, just like give him $5 so he just stops harassing other people.
Yeah.
Like I just like helping out people. And then like, but then obviously you've done bad things to people.
Yeah.
You've hurt people, maybe emotionally. I've never really physically hurt people, but
yeah,
like maybe like you say a joke and the other person might not take it as well as you thought they might take it.
Yeah.
So like you can do things like that make you might think you're not as good of a person as you might think you really
yeah.
are. But I also do agree, like overall, I do believe I'm a good person. Am I the one to judge that? I don't know. But I can say in myself, in my heart, that I feel like I'm a good person.
Yeah.
Do other people think that? That's up to
them. I think you're a good person.
You think I'm a good person?
Good person.
Thank you. Okay. That's good. Let me ask you a question I've been thinking about too. Because like you mentioned funny
yeah.
and stuff like that. So I was thinking about this with like just random traits.
Mm-hmm.
And since you brought up funny, I was like thinking, do you think you're born with being funny?
Ooh.
Or is that like a learned skill? Because like everyone likes to think like themselves is funny.
Yeah.
Like people like to say, oh, I'm a funny guy.
Yeah.
Like what? Like I'm funny. Like someone that, would you say you're funny? Yeah, I'm funny. Like what? Like, but do you think that is given to you, or is that learned? Is that an ego thing where you think, oh, I have to be funny to make it seem like to appeal that I'm actually a funny guy when I might not actually be? Because you might say, someone might say, oh, I'm funny. I've never once laughed at your jokes.
Mm.
Like you'd be like that. And you're like, is this person really funny, or are they just saying it to make it more appealing as likable? Because a lot of people like to put funny as like a likable trait. They like to say, oh, like I like a dude who's funny. I like a girl who's funny. So
yeah.
I don't know. Would you say it's like a learned skill, or would you say it's like inherent inside you, or in general?
Honestly, I feel like in my opinion, it's more like a learned skill. Because you know, from grades 1 to 8,
mm-hmm.
Grades 1 to 8 or 1 to 9, I wasn't really a talkative person. I think I was more like introverted. So I really kept to myself. And I had like crushes and stuff, and I used to just, you know, never really do anything about it and, you know, stay home. And I never really had a comedic side
mm-hmm.
that I thought was like prominent in my character. And then grade 10, I started meeting all these other people that really shaped the person who I was. And they were funny. They were really funny. And I think my definition of funny was more like I was catching on to what they do that makes them funny. And I kind of inherited that. I think it's not really inheritance like from parents, but it's more like inheritance, you're inheriting it from like other people. Like I see like one of my friends, they laugh in a certain way. I started laughing that way. Maybe they say a certain phrase. I'll say that phrase like huzz, riz, all that stuff. You know, all these stupid phrases that kind of shape the brain rot of now and that like lives in everyone's world. So I think, I don't know, in my opinion, it's a learned skill.
I think it's a learned skill. Obviously, people might have a gift.
Yeah.
Like people might have a talent for being a comedian.
Mm.
But then if they have that talent, they also have to refine it to actually
yeah.
be like a worldwide scale. So I would say it is, like part of it could be like inherent. But like, I think a lot of it is like a learned skill to be a likable, funny person to think. I think that like a lot
yeah.
of people think that.
Yeah, like adding on to like the more inherent stuff. Like I think you're able, like I feel like if you learn comedy, you still need to like deliver it in a way, you know?
True.
Deliver in a way that's comedic and everyone can understand. And I think that part's like inherited. That part's like genetic, like from your parents. Like I know my dad, he laughs in a certain way. I've laughed that way my whole life. And he also like says certain jokes and he understands kind of like the same level of stupidity that I do, you know. So yeah,
that's fair. Yeah. No, I was just thinking about it because, like, I was thinking about there's like many other traits that like people like to say they have, but and then you look at them and you're like, I really don't think you're like that. But like you obviously can't tell that to their face. You're like, bro, like they'll think you're like being a weirdo, or they think you're being too mean to them.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are soft. They take that to their heart and they like just won't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
But like I heard like the funny thing a lot. Like a lot of people say, like, okay, I generally think you're funny, by the way. I don't mean that to like anybody. Like I generally think you're funny. You make me laugh like all the time. And like we see each other like three times after school. He makes me laugh. So I do think you're funny. But there's other people that'd be like, hey, do you guys think he's like funny? Like, do you guys think he's funny? Mm. And then he'll just be like, oh yeah, I'm funny. And then we're like, okay, yeah, I think he's funny too. But like then you think in the back of your head, you're like, dude, I've never really heard you say like a funny joke. Or like maybe you've tried a joke and like it didn't land.
Yeah.
But then also sometimes those jokes are also kind of funny. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
It's definitely a tough question.
Hard to say. I don't know. It was just something I was thinking about.
Yeah. Now let me ask you something.
Okay.
Ooh. How's your memory been since like we're over the ages? You know, has it like deteriorated? Has it improved? Do you like remember stuff when you were like born? Like what's going on?
You know, oddly enough, I only have really one memory. The oldest memory. Like, so like when I'm the youngest,
mm-hmm.
I would say is when I was 4 years old and I remember it because it was in a dream.
Oh.
So it's like weird. Like I remember a dream of all things. And it was when we were like in the store, this like Robert, and it was weird because I saw it in third person, like a bird's eye view of me going into the store, the robber coming into the store, shooting up the place, save my mom, you know, just casual like superhero stuff.
Yeah.
But I do believe as I've gotten older, like the less, obviously the less and less you can remember of your old self.
Yeah.
So I guess your memory does deteriorate in a sense. Like, but like, then again, like as you get older, you might be able to hold more storage in.
Yeah.
So like, I'd say like me being able to remember, like when I was 8 years old, it was probably, I don't know if it was easier for me to remember when I was 5 years old, when I was eight compared to 18,
mm-hmm.
but like, I would say that I do have better memory now because I'm just doing better in school. Like whether it's anatomy, biology, all those, I would say I have better memory when it comes to those. Childhood memories, yeah, those are deteriorating, man. Yeah. Those are gone. Those are like, I'm losing them all by the second. Like, I want to write down all my memories so then I don't forget them. Yeah. Like, maybe write them in a book and be like, oh, yeah, I do remember that. So then I don't forget it. I don't know. Like I want to have my childhood memories, but like, You always tend to forget them, and then you're like, "Damn it! I wish I could go back to those memories."
Yeah.
How about you?
I think the youngest memory I've had was maybe when I was like 4 or 5, like same age around you. I used to play like forts, like back in my house. Me and my cousin, we used to just hide under a blanket. My older brother would be like a bear, and we'd be on like a fort, kind of imagining going down a river, and he would like grab us and stuff. And that, for some reason, it's just like key memories that I remember. Mm-hmm. Like I remember going to this trampoline park when I was 7. For some reason, I don't remember Disneyland. For some reason.
You don't remember going to Disney?
Yeah, which is crazy because I'm pretty sure my parents probably spent like
thousands. Dude, they spent money.
Bank back then.
Money.
To be honest, I still don't understand why they spend so much when we're so little because we don't remember any of it.
How old are you?
I mean, I was probably like 5.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Yeah, but it's probably just me, but like parents spending like thousands when your kid is like 2 months old or like a year old.
I never understood it.
But like talking about what we were talking about before, like I think over time, like we get used to, like our brain matures. Mm-hmm. And I heard this thing online where we have like 5 quintillion petabytes of storage in our brain.
Really?
Like, I don't know, that's like a rough estimate. I don't even know if that's the right number, but it's a lot of a storage. And I think we tend to remember a lot of stuff over memories, mm-hmm. which is why it's kind of harder to understand all these crabs and new stuff right now, because it's starting to fill up more and more, like all these tiny things. And I think our brain didn't really understand what was going on back then to be able to process it as like a key memory. And I think that's why we only remember key memories from now. And our brain just kind of, you know, got used to being able to understand, you know, what's going on.
That's true. That's true. But then when you get older, like, cause I don't want to end up like a vegetable though. Like, yeah, you know, like yeah. People get dementia and stuff. Yeah. I mean, luckily my family, it doesn't have like, a record of having dementia.
Oh, that's great. That's good.
Did you?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But like I always wondered, like, when do you start losing all your memories? Like, mm-hmm. I wonder, like, if there's like a time point where, like, damn, what was I doing when I was 25? Dang, mm-hmm. I don't even remember this person. And like even like short term memory, like I remember vividly. I went to this not ice cream shop, Froyo place. And like, I was there and then I saw this person, like this girl, and she was like, hi, how are you? I was like, hi, my name is this. And we were cool. I was like, we just had a normal chat. And then I remember I came back that like another time, like a week later, and I talked to the lady that was like working there. And she was like, you remember last time you came in, you had like, you saw this person, like what happened? I was like, who?
Really?
Yeah. I was like, I did not remember at all, like, who that person was. Like, I don't remember their name. I could remember, like, their hair, maybe, but not really much that person. It's odd. Like you, like, go to somewhere, you meet somebody, be like, hey, Jordan, like, how's it going? Like, it's even crazier because, like, people always, like, complain, like, how are guys able to just bond and, like, just be able to, like, not even know each other's names? Like, yeah. have you not seen, like, those, like, memes where it's, like, girls are, like, how do you not know your boy's name? You've been playing 2K with him for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I just don't know his name. Yeah. I just call him his gamer tag.
Yeah.
And you're like, dang, like, dude, does short-term memory really like how I wonder what has more of an effect, short-term memory or long-term memory? What would you rather have without though? Because like, if you don't have long-term memory, but you have that short-term memory, or you don't have short-term memory, but you have that long-term memory.
Oh, man. That's actually really tough. Because long-term memory, obviously, you're remembering stuff from, like, so long ago. Yeah. Like, these key things that, you know, turned you into who you are. But short-term is really important, like, day-to-day when you're trying to, like, survive. So I don't really know. But, oh, man, it's really tough.
Would you say you, like, when you meet somebody, do you meet somebody and you remember their name or their face more?
I think for me, I remember more of their face. Like, when I see them in public, like, I'll know them. And, like, maybe 80% of the time I'll be able to match a name to the face. Mm-hmm. But 20% of the time I'm just like, who is that? They look so familiar, but I've never seen them before. And I was going to say something about what you were saying before, about, like, short-term memory. Like you were talking about that girl who you saw at the supermarket and you, like, next time you went, you forgot. Right. Like, I always thought about, like writing down events or day-to-day life, you know, because I hear about these people having, like, diaries or journals and stuff, maybe in high school, throughout life. And I think that's, like, really, like, cool and really important because, as you said, like, at some point, your memory starts to fade because, you know, your neurons start to die and they start to die longer, they start to die faster. Just noting down your day to day. And when you start to forget, you have this journal, you can read back, and, you know, people with Alzheimer's, they have something like that to recall a memory.
True.
And I think when I get old, I want to write a journal. Like, if I get time, obviously I'm not going to write handwriting. I'm probably going to get carpal, bro.
Carpal.
But like, but I'd probably type it, you know, and just keep it with me. And if I ever got Alzheimer's, put like a sticky note on it, said, read this if you're lost.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Wait, do you not remember when you went to Disney?
No, I don't, bro. Dude, damn. I remember, I went to...
Wait, Disneyland or Disney World?
Oh, I don't remember.
Damn.
See, that's why. That's what I'm saying. Damn. I don't remember anything. I remember I went to, like, key moments were, like, trampoline park, playing forts. I think it's, like, really memorable events. Because I feel like Disneyland, maybe I didn't have so much fun. Maybe I was crying the whole time. Maybe it was something I don't want to remember, you know?
Yeah,
but I remember, like, going to Las Vegas and with my whole family. for like a marriage or something. Mm-hmm. And we were on this big carpet. And I remember seeing, like, I have these photos in my living room. I go back and see, oh, yeah, I actually do remember that. I was in a big banquet hall, red carpet. And it's also why, like, including, like, journals to remember, like, photos. Mm-hmm. Like, you see yourself. Like, when you're older, you'll see yourself when you were a kid and be like, oh, yeah, I actually do remember this. And it helps, like, recall memory. And I think that's pretty cool. How brain works, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I'm sad that you don't remember Disney World.
Dude, Disney was, dude, oh, I still want to go. I don't remember
anything. It was a fun place when you were a kid. Like, yeah. I went to Disney World in Florida, Orlando, and it was cool. I think it was Orlando. I know it was Florida. Florida's a state, yeah. But like, I'm pretty sure it was Orlando.
Hmm.
It was a good, very fun, very fun. We even brought like cubs back from Disney.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
It was a really fun experience.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Let me ask you something though.
Yeah.
So, if you were to meet somebody who was famous, who would you want to meet?
Like anyone, throughout time.
Anybody, throughout any timeline, any time. Who would you want to meet that's famous?
Oh man.
How about this? I'll give you two. So I'll let you choose somebody that's alive right now and somebody that's dead.
Okay. What if they speak like a different language?
Doesn't matter.
But
like, do you want to like?
Would
you
they get translate to English or what?
No, you just get to meet them. Like, you get to meet them. And be like, well, what if you be friends? What famous person would you want to be friends with? Dead and alive.
Dead and alive.
Yeah, that's probably a better question. Which famous person would you want to be friends with?
It's tough.
I was also thinking about this. Like, I was thinking like, obviously I was thinking JB, but. Like, I've also thought of, Michael B. Jordan, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a very good role model, very good role model for me. Like, he's somebody I like to aspire to be, so.
Yeah.
Be cool. Like, obviously, now here's the thing, though. If you become friends with them, you don't want to be starstruck by them. You don't want to be like, oh my God, Michael B. Jordan, oh my God,
yeah.
Oh my God. And then, like, they're like, they're looking at you, like, weird, like, calm down. Yes,
yeah.
So it's hard, but like, I would probably want to be friends with Michael B. Jordan. He's cool. That's alive.
Yeah.
Now that's dead. Who would I want to be friends with? Who's dead? That's a tough one, because I don't want to choose like the symbol like MLK or whatever. Or Malcolm X. I want to do like something like. Man, who would I want to meet that be friends with when I was younger? Do you know who actually? Sir Isaac Newton.
Oh, I was really thinking I would do something like that. I can do that. That's looking smart.
Or Euler.
Yeah, because I know, like, apparently I watched this, like, video, like, a YouTube short or something random. It was, like, Sir Isaac Newton, like, obviously did gravity and stuff. And then, like, on his road to discovering gravity, this guy invented calculus.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? This guy invented everything I learned in the first year, bro.
In his bro, he was, like, young when he, like, discovered all that, too.
These young minds, they're actually insane. Sir Isaac Newton is definitely a great pick. For me, oh man, alive is hard. Dead, I think dead will be like this doctor that I was reading up on. Mm-hmm. His name is Hector Wong. Basically, he invented these they're called Persevere biomarkers that helps identify like different types of septic shock. So like multi-organ failure in like patients. His research is still going on.
It's still going on.
Yeah. Which is great. He was at Cincinnati Hospital.
Cincinnati. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not like a big thing. Like you said, I wouldn't want to pick someone big. I mean, that would be great to meet like MLK or like.
But you don't want
to
meet your idols, you know? Something.
Yeah. You don't want to meet your idol because dude, they'll crush you, bro. You'll be like, oh yeah, I'm better at calculus. What did you do? I didn't get into med school. It'd be like this thing, and then, you know, but talking to someone where like you read up on their thing and you know like a lot about them is someone like I would be.
That's true.
And alive. Probably meet someone like someone chill, like someone who wouldn't like be weird around me, you know.
Theo Von?
Low key. Okay, hear me out, bro. Theo Von. Like, I know sometimes he can be the weirdest guy ever. Like, this guy's so weird. He's low-key, he's really out of pocket. But for some reason, I've been listening to this podcast for some reason I haven't been able to finish, mm-hmm. but like it's called The Trauma, The Unprocessed Trauma, mm-hmm. with Teo Vaughn and Gabor Mate. I'm pretty sure I told you about this.
Oh, you did.
But I'm like literally 10 minutes from the end, but like I listen to it in bits whenever like I want to feel motivated or something. Mm-hmm. But Gabor Mate, actually, I mean Gabor Mate, not Teo Vaughn. It's like Teo Vaughn, I feel like we'll probably talk about some stupid stuff.
It was just troll, bro.
Just troll the entire time. But he's like this psychologist out of like Nunavut in Canada. And he really talks about like unprocessed trauma and how trauma creates unprocessed trauma, and unprocessed trauma causes all these other things.
Damn.
And
is he like a doctor?
Yeah, he's like a palliative care specialist.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, it's like end of life care.
End of life
care. Yeah. And I don't know, I had weird picks for this, but it's only because like I've heard like all these like tiny people, like you haven't heard of like these people, but they have like such major contributions that you want to know, well, if I can like learn more about this, maybe I can do something with it.
Yeah, so, like, my picks are stupid.
No, your picks are great, because like meeting like Michael B. Jordan or meeting like these good like people, like I would do that.
No, yeah, but, that's like, true. I just don't want to get, bro, if I'm like Isaac Newton, bro, this guy's not going to give me
this. This guy's going to like a dookie on me, bro.
It's good. Bro, he's going to be like, bro, what you doing, little twat? Wait, was he English? I can't remember if he was English.
Is he? I don't know.
But like, he'll be like, what you doing, twat? Hey, mate, go fetch you an apple. I'm like, damn, bro. Okay, damn.
He's going to start giving you calculus problems. You're going to be like, yo, what? He's going to invent a whole new
thing.
He's going to invent a whole new thing right in front of you. At least you're the first one to know it, though.
The thing is, he probably won't even let me know it. He'll probably show me a bit of it and then not give me the rest.
That's true, yeah.
Well, He'll gatekeep. Yeah.
All right, well, let me ask you one.
All right.
Let's take a looky here.
Two more questions, then we can end the pod.
Quote of the day. What is one motivational thing that you want to tell me and the people on the podcast? What is
one? I'm totally not searching up a quote right now. I'm totally not.
Well, let me think. Oh, man. I'm trying to think of a quote. I'm trying to think of past experiences I had today, maybe.
Already today?
Well, like tiny things that I can turn into like a quote, you know? Mm-hmm. Like no matter what, if you don't push yourself, then your life won't move forward or something, you know?
That's like, deep. That's deep.
Something simple, like if you were to like lie in bed all day, your life would move on without you. You'd be rest behind and you don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. But if you actually push yourself, wake up early, go to the gym, go to school, go to work, you're progressing with the world as it's moving. And in doing so, you're progressing everyone's life around you too. You know what I mean? Like when I feel like I just lie in bed, in the morning, I'm on TikTok and I do absolutely nothing. I think about how other people are advancing their life, mm-hmm. and how other people are doing their best to provide for themselves. And even for everyone else around them. Like, everyone has their own specific role. Why am I just lying in bed and doing nothing? Where's my role? You know what I mean?
Yeah, this guy's coming up with the whole motivational speech, you know? Hey, that's a good quote, though. Also, with that speech, I got to change my celebrity pick. Instead of Michael B. Jordan, you just gave me the perfect one. Denzel Washington.
Oh, I like that. I like Denzel Washington. That's a good pick.
You gave me a good one. Okay. My quote, okay, totally didn't just search this up. Look, guys, I'm not going to show you. Okay. So my quote is, losers quit when they fail. Winners fail until they succeed. And what I always take from that quote is to never give up and never give in.
Mm.
I always never want to do something, fail at it, and then just stop. I want to be able to try it, then try it again. Mm. Then maybe find a different way to spin it, try it again.
Yeah.
Maybe after some times I might try to stop being delusional and then actually try and do something about it.
Yeah.
But I always want to keep trying something until like I know 100% it's not going to work. Like,
yeah.
Obviously I'm not talking about I'm going to start making pigs fly. Like I'm not talking about that. But like when it's like everyday life things, like oh, I did bad on like a chemistry test or something. Yeah. Or like for like a real thing that happened, even like doing bad on an anatomy midterm. I'm not gonna look at myself and be like, damn, should I like drop out of biomed? Should I just drop university? Should I just do the entrepreneur like sell course online? Like I want to at least try again. And then hey, I found out I did again. Ended up with an A in that class. Did better on the second midterm. Did better on the final. Almost 100 on the final. Oh, yeah. It was cool. And then one more quote. Let me find it. One more quote. I found this like online. Like this one was like when I read it, I was like, damn, this was a good quote. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're suffering more in the imaginary than in the reality. We suffer more in the imaginary than in reality. And what I mean by that is this always goes for overthinkers. Overthinkers. Think about overthinkers. They always, what if this happens? What if that? What if that? And then the more you think about it, the more stress you gain, the more hair you might lose, and the more you dread of what might actually happen. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of people like to think of, oh, what if this scenario is going to happen for the future? What if that scenario is going to happen for the future? What if you actually just do it instead of thinking about it and being like, you know, I'm going to procrastinate, you know, let me take 2 hours, you know, throwing their ball up in the ceiling. You know, what I don't know, instead of taking action. And then they think about the imaginary of what could have been.
Yeah.
And then that's also very suffering. What could have been, what would have been, instead of what did or what had been done.
That's great. No, that's a great quote. Yeah, dude, the never give up and then like overthinking, like as someone who's an overthinker, like at certain times, like maybe I'm trying to like chill for a bit, like even for like 10 minutes, I tend to overthink, like maybe is this a good idea? Should I really be doing this? Should I be studying right now? Mm-hmm. Should I be going for a run? Should I be going to the gym? Should I be doing something more productive than I am without ever thinking, oh, maybe I need a break. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that quote is perfectly describes kind of like all the overthinkers out there who constantly think that I need to be doing something all the time. You don't need to be doing something all the time. You need a break and you need to have a balance, which may be hard to find, but it's super important to find that.
And very much needed. I'm telling you guys, uni, bro. Uni, like if you guys want to learn one thing that, well, okay, actually, your final question. What's one advice you'd give to a freshly new grade 12? They're about to graduate, you know, prom's coming up. About to graduate, hopefully going into the dream schools, you know, I hope you guys go into your dream schools. But what's one thing that, like, you want to give? You can even say, to make it even deeper, what's one thing that you'd give yourself this time last year?
I think advice to myself.
At this time last year.
I think don't let go of the friends you have, because those are the friends that'll be there forever. And I think I know a lot of people who, especially for me, I let go a lot of my friends last year. A lot of people who were really important to me, people who were there like since day one, grade four, grade three, like they were my day ones, mm-hmm. and I had to let them go because they were either moving away or going to a different university. And I think, like I said, they'll be there forever. Like you have family, family is forever all the time. Mm-hmm. But friends are people who you can be yourself around without having being judged. And these people who are with you forever throughout high school, like you build memories and experiences with them, and letting them go, I think is a terrible idea. You're letting go of all these fun memories and experiences for what? Because you think it's going to take too much time? Because you're not dedicating enough to the friendship? You're losing out on opportunities and you're losing out on the ability to create new memories with them and to advance yourself, because I feel like people change. A lot of people change. I'll change, you'll change. But over time, those changes to others will eventually impact ourselves. And I think it's a great loss for people who lose their friends over time. How about you?
That was actually really, really good. I even felt that a bit in myself, you know. I love to lose your friends because, you know, you sometimes become distant with your friends. They might be doing things that, like, you might not so agree with doing, but, you know, they're your friends. They'll always be there for you, hopefully, anyways. Hopefully you don't have snakes out there. So I'd say I have two pieces of advice. One personally for me, and then one, like, in general. So personally for me, I said I'd say always just try. Just try. Like, I remember in high school, I had a very hard time with actually trying to do work, actually trying to get a good grade. Like, I didn't get good grades, like, in high school until, like obviously, I was on an honor roll student, but, like, I was, like, barely making honor roll, like, 80%. Like, I was, like, because I felt like, hey, I'm making 80%. I don't really need to try as much. I'm, like, getting 80%, procrastinating to the last minute, doing assignments, doing labs. I was, like, what's the point of even trying? And then, like, now that I've come to university, you can't do those same methods anymore. You can't just relax. You can't. Like, you obviously need time to take a break, but you can't just relax a whole week.
Yeah.
You can't just procrastinate that assignment, because then you're going to forget, oh, I forgot about this class. So then I would say be well. Oh, my God, bro. Bro, like, okay. Be. Wait, what did I just say? Okay, be actually try. Actually try. Please just, Jordan, if I was going to talk to you in the past, please just try, because if you at least try, you never know where it might take you, and you can actually do really good for your life. And then now to the people in general, I would say, I mean, you've probably heard of this probably like a lot, like around people, but I really do believe that you become a sum of the five people you spend the most time with. And you got to make sure those people are on somewhat of what either you want to be or on the same track as you. Because if you look at somebody who's like not doing like the needs, like you might have like maybe two friends or like eight friends that like aren't doing the same things as you. Like if you're the only engineer and you have other health, like everybody else is like a health like major.
Yeah.
Maybe you might have to find more engineer friends.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're trying to get your bachelor's in arts and you have all of these engineer things, maybe you have to find more creative minds.
Yeah.
Like, cause I really do believe, like even this comes to with parents. Like if I've seen a lot of people that are like, maybe they're mama's boy and stuff like that, daddy's girl or whatever, or just they hang out with their parents in general. They think a lot like them and they tend to act a lot like them. And then when you pair them with their friends, they might gel really well together, or they might start to split apart a lot of the times.
Yeah.
So I really do believe, like, if you want the best for yourself going into university, you want to try and surround yourself with people that are very like-minded like you, or are somebody that you aspire to be. Maybe you become friends with the fourth year, your DGD tutor. I don't know. Maybe it's your DGD tutor that you become friends with. But like, I really do believe that like the people you hang around with will make what your experience will be. If you always hang out with people that are the frat boys that like to party, no disrespect to frat people. I mean, I have some friends that are pretty cool. They're pretty cool. But like, I'd say like, okay, they're not necessarily the frat, but they're cool. They're cool people that like to hang out with frat people. And I'll say like I won't hang out with them as much because they're not necessarily on the same path that I would like to be at in the future. Maybe they have their own path. Maybe they're finance majors. A lot of them are finance majors. Maybe they're in commerce. They want to try reach the skills of becoming investment banking. And that's for them, for with their tools. But for me and my tools, I'm not on that path.
Yeah.
I don't want to be an investment banker. I want to become into medicine. I want to become a doctor.
Yeah.
So I've got to find other people that are like-minded that want to become doctors too. Or else those investment bankers are just going to detrail, put you off your rails or detrail you from what you actually want. Yeah. And then you all of a sudden you're like, fourth year, why am I so behind? And that's my most fear of being behind when you realize you've wasted all your time.
Yeah.
It's probably a big fear of mine.
And like, just like a last thought would be like, my dad always told me to like be around those like-minded individuals because eventually those people are going to be, those are like connections, like they'll push you to want to work harder, which is why I hang around you and I hang around like all these other people who maybe went to Waterloo or when they went to Queen's Health Sci, Mac Health Sci, because they have like a goal and a journey in mind and you have a goal and a journey in mind, and that really not only motivates yourself, your own goal and journey, but also motivates me because it works, it kind of forces me to work harder. And I think what you said was really great because especially to all the people who are out there who want to, you know, make new friends in university, you really want to like look for similar traits, people who are hardworking, same goal, same journey in medicine. I have a lot of friends in biomed, and I made a lot of friends this year, which is great because they all want to do the same thing. as me, and that's pursue medicine and just have a fun life. So.
All right, guys. So that was the first pod. You know, we hope to make more soon. You know, we got a summer. It's just we got a summer to do this. Yeah. So we're gonna continue off into the next semester. You know.
Yep. So all right. See you guys.
School's out.